herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now we'll go to Isaiah 14. It's going to look a little odd, but 14, Isaiah 14:12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that does, man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners?" Amen. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. From the Message, the spoken word is the original seed. Brother Branham reads this scripture. And he starts in Genesis chapter 1. And so he says, "Now God's word is eternal. God being infinite cannot speak one thing and then later on change it to something else, to a better decision. Because every decision of God is perfect, he cannot. Once his word is once spoken, it can never die. It lives on and on and on and can never die because it is God. His word can no more die than he can die. That's the reason we read in 1 John or St. John, first chapter, he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh." The same word that was spoken in the beginning with his eternal purpose came on over and was made flesh and dwelt among us. God's Word. So I want to speak a little thought tonight, and y'all may find it a little odd, but it's, I entitled this "The Cheap Imitation of the Original." And I happened to see that somewhere. I was reading and I run across that, and it said, talking about a cheap imitation of the original. And I thought, you know, that's a pretty good title. Right. And so I had wrote some things, thought about some things, but you know, Brother Brown was talking about God's word, and you know, God's word never changes. It's the same. It's, right. You know, God's will is God's word. Right. And whatever he thought and that he spoke, and you know, it's not ever going to change. Everything else may change, but God's word can't change. God can't change his word, and it can't die. Like he said, and you know, there in the scripture, Brother Bradley says in the Message, the resurrection of Lazarus, he's speaking about the day of Pentecost. And you know, he was talking about them going to the upper room and tarrying. And you know, he said, "You wait till you're endued with power from on high." Well, he didn't tell them how long they were going to wait. He just told them until. He said, "You stay there." And that was the promise that was made. He said, "You stay there." And that's what he wanted them to do. And you know, in other places where he talks about, you know, people, they were there and it's like, "Well, we think we've got it. He's like, "No." You know, Peter was like, "No. We'll know when we receive it." He said, "Because you're going to receive, it'll be an experience." You know, Brother Branham said one time in questions and answers, somebody asked him, he said, "Does our children need to have an experience?" And he said, you know, or them, realizing the message, them accepting the message, is that the same? And he said, no, you need to have an experience. Not just accepting the message, not just knowing the message, not receiving the message. That's not the same thing as having an experience. But you know, he was talking about, you know, they received the word that Jesus spoke to them. The disciples received that word and they went to the upper room. But that still wasn't the experience that Jesus told them to have. That was not the undoing of the power. And so they had to wait on that. And you know, when they received that power, then they staggered around like drunk people. You know, they acted weird and everybody was like, you know, these people are full of new wine. You know, they didn't understand what was going on, but you know, he said, Peter, being a soapbox preacher, stood up and said, these people aren't drunk like you think they are. He said, they're not drunk as you suppose, seeing that's just the third hour of the day, but he said, this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And he said, you know, he said, Peter was being a soapbox preacher and he got up and he began to speak to them. He said, he preached such a sermon till he shook the stalactites of hell down into the devil's eyes. Amen. That's right. He said, they seen all this. He said, this was what was prophesied to be. And they said, what can we do to be saved? He said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He said, what is it? He said, it's the same promise. The same manna that fell on them to give them eternal life, like the manna that carried the children of Israel through the wilderness. The same baptism of the Holy Ghost carries the church through to glory. And every man, as the priest was then, the middle wall partitions torn down. Every man that'll come to God and believe that he is and a rewarder of those who seek him and give up their sins and throw their arms open to God can have not something that looks like some imitation of it, but a genuine heart full of the real baptism of the Holy Ghost, like fell on the day of Pentecost. Make the same signs, wonders, and everything else take place. Hallelujah. You know that's right. May you act the same, make you act the same way like a drunk man. Carry on just like they did on the day of Pentecost. Every believer has a right to receive it, just like every priest coming into the priesthood could get the manna. Hallelujah. My, I wished I was twice my size, I'd make twice as much noise maybe. And I know how that is. Sometimes, you know, you get into it and you do wish you was a little bit bigger, taller, louder. But it was the same thing. It was the same promise. The promise didn't change. God never, you know, because God made the promise to everybody. He didn't take the promise away from anybody. The problem is people don't accept the promise. They don't accept it. It wasn't that God made it and allowed people to receive it. The problem is whether you receive it or not. You know, there's sometimes people get confused on a thought. You know, when God spoke to Cain and told him that you know, he saw Cain's sacrifice and he rejected it. But he gave Cain the way to follow. He gave him the way to righteousness. The rule, he said, if you will do as your brother. You know, he didn't even have to have faith to believe in that. He just had to act on what God told him to do. What he saw Abel do. Abel had a revelation that it was blood and he offered sacrifice. Cain didn't have that, but God told him, didn't even have to have revelation that it was the blood, but all he had to do was he had to have obedience. And if he could have had obedience, he would have been accepted. And you know, the thing is people say, and if you don't see it that way, because if you don't see that it was God made a way, then you know what? If God would not accept Cain, if Cain had offered a blood sacrifice, if God hadn't accepted Cain, then God's a liar. Because he would have been a liar if he hadn't done it. But you know, the thing is, it wasn't what God said, it's what Cain done. God made the way for him, but Cain didn't accept it. Cain didn't follow through with it. As many times as you know, Brother Bram talked about, how many times as he talked about, we sing, you know, he knew what people was going to do because he had by foreknowledge, he knew what was going to take place. He knew whether people would accept it or not. But you know, he could have waited a billion years, and the people still wouldn't have believed it. They still wouldn't have accepted it because he knew what was going to take place. But you know what? It wasn't that he did not make a way for them. So that when one day, when it comes to the great throne, when they have to stand before God and give an answer, you know what? It ain't going to be that they're pointing their finger at God and saying, you've done me different. You treated me wrong. No, the thing is it's going to ring in their ears. It's going to run through their mind exactly what God done for them, what God spoke to them, where God crossed their path and they turned him down. God's not a respecter of persons. He's made a way for everybody. The scripture tells us that he said that God was not willing that any should perish. He said, but that all might come to repentance. Well, if he did not make a way, because John 3 says that he so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. He said to whosoever, and Brother Branham said, he said it doesn't put anybody's name in there. He said the scripture doesn't say Ormond Neville or William Branham or anything like that, but he said whosoever will. He said if you will believe what he said, it's whosoever, then it's to you. But you've got to believe it's to you. He didn't take it away from anybody. See, that's what makes it so great, is because he spread it out to everybody, and it's up to you whether you accept it or not. It's up to me whether I accept it. God's made a way. God's made a provision. He's taken care of all things all the way through. As we'll look here, maybe later, Brother Bram, talking about understanding our journey and what God's done for us. And he's made a way. He knew what was going to take place. Even before we did, he knew what was coming our way. But he's made a way. But you know, people don't see that. You know, because many times, as you know, it's a close, as Satan said, he said, I'm going to be like the Most High. Yeah, right. He said, I'm going to exalt myself. Right. You know, he said it would be so close in the end time. He said it would deceive the very elect if possible. But you know, the same one that offered it, you know, if he made a way, if he offered, shed his blood, and made a way back, tore down that middle wall of partition there, if he's gapped the great chasm, then you know that if he's made a way, then you know what? You cannot be deceived. If he's made a way. Sure, Satan's going to attack. That's his job. That's his goal. But you know what? As we sang that song earlier, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. You know, you might get confused. You might lose your way. But you know what? If you're one of his, you're not going to be lost. He's not going to lose a single one of you. Many times we don't follow the way we ought to go. But that don't mean he's not there.
Glory. Thank you, Lord.
This is from the message, The Oddball. Brother Branham says, I can imagine the very first church, what they were, and compare it with his reproduction today. And compare it with this reproduction today. He said, this would be a cheap production of what the real church was, that rugged believers in God with the Holy Ghost. You babied not them. You didn't have to pat them and tell them. You'd take them in this one and be tired of that one. they go to another one. You'll make them a deacon if they'll come here, leave this over there. Yep. He said, that's a hybrid reproduction. And this is where I got my thought from. Brother Bram says, I was thinking of Michelangelo's original painting, I believe, of the Last Supper. I think he painted it. Do you realize what that original picture would cost you? It would be countless thousands of dollars. Would never touch that original because it's beyond price. It's so valued, so high. But you can buy a cheap reproduction of it for about $2. That's why people today can't understand the ruggedness of real, genuine believers. They become a nut. You know, the world gets in such a rut till every once in a while you have to have a nut to straighten it out. Take somebody come on the scene that's a little different, and he is a nut to that generation. I was thinking about that the other day. Who is able? Who today is not a nut? You're somebody's nut. I believe the world is completely going insane. You know, it's a time that people can't judge between right or wrong or truth or error. And that's where I got, you know, I was reading about where I saw that, and it's a cheap imitation of the original. But you know, Brother Brown was speaking in the oddball, and he was talking about, he said, you can get a cheap reproduction of something. And you know, because he said it was a hybrid reproduction. And you know, when we look at something, because if you look at what the way God does things and the way man does things, you know, because there's a slight variation, because you know, you can reproduce something, and people make, and they call them replicas. But you know what? It never has the value that the original has. You can make, and you know, people, you know, there's different terminologies that we can talk about. You know, counterfeit is something that we make, but you try to pass that off as the original. You try to pass that off, but a replica, you know that's a replica. You know what you've got. But a replica is something that usually, when you look at the word replica, is something that they use and they take very high end products and they try to make it really nice. And it's not just some cheap made thing, but it's a replica because it is supposed to stand in for the original. So it's supposed to be a replica so that when you look at it, it's not... you know, many times when they talk about making jewelry, you know, because they have original jewelry that's, you know, worth millions of dollars. Well, they don't want those being out too far and, you know, where people can steal them and everything like that. So they use, they have people that can make very, what, you know, like costume jewelry and it's worth lots of money. And they are very well talented at their jobs, and they can do a lot of things to make it replicate the original. But it's still not the original. And they can have many of the very small, fine details that are in the original, but it's still not the original. And it's worth a lot of money. But you know, you can have something, and many times when they talk about making a reproduction of something. Well, many times when you make a reproduction of something, you know, sometimes a reproduction is something that kind of looks like it. But you know, when you start to look at it, you look at the details, it doesn't have the same details as the original does. Not like in a replica, sometimes when they make replicas, you know, when they look at a piece of furniture or anything like that, they actually know the grain, the details of the grain that they match those things up, or they see the slightest little, in paintings where they add just a little touch of paint where it swoops out this way or this way, or they have a certain line. Well, you know, they try to match that identical. When a reproduction, it may not have that. The colors may have matched, but it doesn't have those same fine details. But you know, it's still not the original in all that you do. You know, so it's not that, you know, when you talk about making a reproduction, well, when God reproduces himself, when he takes his life and he adds it to someone else and he gives somebody else his life, when he reproduces himself, you know what? There isn't any difference. So there isn't, you know, so when we look at these things, when we talk about reproductions, yeah, when there's a hybrid, why? Because there is a difference between what man reproduces, because you know what? It's not man's job to reproduce what God, it's God doing his reproducing. So it's God doing that, not man trying to reproduce it. You know, because man cannot do what God done. Because he is the original, so you can't take what he's done and reproduce it. And you may make a fine reproduction of it, a fine replica of it, but it'll never be the same. This is from the Message. The mighty God unveiled. He said, could you compare Christianity with Christianity today with what it is then? Could you imagine this group that what we call Christians today across the world being like those was after Pentecost, babied and padded, and from one church to another and say something you don't like, get up and walk out? Could you imagine that? No. What is the matter? It's a reproduction. Michelangelo that created the monument of Moses, you could get a reproduction of that very cheap, but the original, the one who painted the Lord's Supper, I guess the original painting would run into millions of dollars if you could even buy it. I don't even know where it's at, but you can buy a cheap reproduction of it for about $1.98. And he said, and that's the way it is today. A cheap Christian, a reproduction, just a church joiner. You can buy them out for a cigarette or for a common drink. Or for a woman with cut hair or painted lips, you can buy her for anything in the fashions of the world. He said, but you can't touch that genuine. I see him in full view, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, Christian, don't you want to be a real Christian? He says, raise your hand if you want to be one. Not just to be a reproduction. Not something made over, but you want to be a real genuine Christian. Why? Because you want him to make you not just try to live a life, try to reproduce that life, but that's not what it is, but it's to live the life. But it's no longer, as Paul said, it's no longer I that lives now. He said, but it's Christ that lives in me. It's him living the life, not me trying to live the life. From the Message, believest thou this, Brother Bram says, he said, that's what's the matter with the world today, amen. People stuck up and starchy. God will have to pour out the Holy Ghost and wilt that thing down in you. Every one of us, we're just exactly on the same level. God made us all out of one pattern. No matter if you live in a better neighborhood, go to a better church, there's nothing but what has God's made you, and you, and who are you to glory? Glory comes to God. And Brother Brown was speaking here in his message. He was speaking about being in the Colosseum there, or the museum, I believe it was, and he was talking about them, looking at what a human body was worth when you broke it down into all the elements and what it was worth. And those men were standing there and they were looking at it. And you know, and then the one fellow says, them couple boys standing there, and one looks said, well, John, we're not worth very much, are we? Because when they seen it, I think it was like 84 cents or whatever it was that Brother Brown said. And he said, look, fella, he said, that's your body. But he said, you got a soul that's worth 10,000. You can scroll up. Let's see. I think you can scroll up some more. Leave us out of this. Well, I think we missed it. It's 45. Scroll up. Let's see. There it is. He said, that's your body, but you got a soul that's worth 10,000 worlds. That's right. He said, that body will go back to the dust some of these days, but you got a soul that will live forever. Take care of that. He said, look at the value that Jesus Christ put on it to come from glory to die to redeem you. That's the trouble. We look at the outside and take care of the outside, but the inside we let it go. Yes, sir. And then he goes on talking about Mary and Martha and the different ones. But you know, do we see the value that soul being worth 10,000 worlds, seeing the value that God placed on it, not just on the flesh? You know, Brother Ryan said many times people would take, you know, put $100 dress on 84 cents, or you know, walk around with their nose up in the air. Said if it, you know, if it rained, they'd drown. But you know, here they are. They missed to see what was the real value. Was it that God saw your soul? And you know, God came to died to redeem you. And you know, as I said, He made a way for everybody. He's opened that up for everybody. Nobody, but see, the thing is you've got to accept that. It's not God going to force you. God's not going to override your free moral agency. It's up to you whether you're going to accept it or not. Because you have to make that decision. God's not going to make that decision for you. Brother Brown was speaking. You know, there's many that have come and, you know, God made a way, but the question is are they going to accept what God give to them? He was speaking of, Fanny Crosby one time, and he was speaking of her, and, you know, she had the ability to make a lot of money. You know, Brother Ram talks about her having, you know, she could have made a lot of money, but you know, she decided, you know, they wanted her to write songs because she had such a talent. She could have made lots of money, and you know, they wanted her to do all these things, but you know, she said, no, nothing of the world. And she said, all that God has given me, he said, all my talent, she said, is for him. And you know, they went and they were asking her about, you know, all these different things. You know, they got so upset with her, but you know, he said, you know, they kind of got peeved at her because she turned down such an opportunity. He said she didn't sell her birthrights out like Mr. Presley and them did. Said she maintained her integrity. You know, talking about Elvis selling out as a Judas for, you know, a fleet of Cadillacs and a $1 million and a bunch of gold records and all those things. And you know, what can you say about all that in the end time? You know, as Brother Branham said, you know, one of these days, you know, he will be all shook up when he has to stand before the judgment, you know, and all these things. You know, what has it done for you? I mean, where does it carry you? You know, when you look at something and you talk about something being cheap, you know, do you put value on something? You know, God saw a lot of value in you that He would go wherever you were, and that He would become like us. He took on sin that we might become the righteousness of God. He knew where you were at. He knew what we were. How we were lost and undone. There was nothing good in us, but He came and became us that we might become Him, that we can become the righteousness of God. Do we see the value in that? You know, because if your soul is worth 10,000 worlds, the Bible says, you know, what does it profit of man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or he said, what will a man exchange for his soul? You know what struck me is when you think of that, if I gain the whole world tonight, if God values my soul at 10,000 worlds and I only gain one, what about the other 9,999? Right. If you want to talk about cheap, I think that exchange rate's pretty cheap. I would swap a dollar for $10,000 with anybody any day of the week. I think it's pretty cheap, but that's what people, but you know, people don't see the value that God sees in. He's speaking of, Brother Brown, speaking of Fanny Crosby, and he was talking about, you know, he said the worst kind of blindness is not physical blindness. He said it's spiritual blindness. And, you know, he said because, you know, Fanny might have been physically blind, but she wasn't spiritually blind. You know, and I always love this quote, you know. He said there's a blindness that's worse than physical blindness, and that's spiritual blindness. He said, I feel more sorry for them than I do for the physically blind. So why wouldn't our hearts reach out for them instead of condemning them? Let's love them. Then they'll see light if you'll just love them. The world's a dying, not for a better economics. The church is dying. Not for better buildings, a bigger denomination, but it's dying for somebody to reach out a hand of love to show that we care one for the other. He said, that's the very sign that Jesus told us that by this all men would know that you were my disciples when we got love one for the other. He said, I was thinking of blind. He said, it's a little off my subject, but not off either. He said, There was blind Fanny Crosby. She could see better than a lot of people, got two good eyes. They tried to get her one time to write music or poetry for the dance world, for the entertainment world, and she refused to do it. So they were making fun of her. I thought, what a difference it is between her and a certain young Pentecostal boy who set the world afire with rock and roll. I've often thought that he's worse than Judas. Judas, Esau sold his birthright, and what a horrible thing that young man will have to answer for at the day of judgment. Sent more souls to hell than all the bootleg joints there is in the country, right? But then when Fanny Crosby, one day when they come to her with these big bargains, she was poor too, they come to her and said, we'll give you so much if you'll just give your talent over to making songs for the entertainment world. She flatly refused it. She wouldn't do it. She said, if there's anything that I have, it belongs to Christ. So those young men were talking to her, and I was supposed, they're expecting, then I suppose that you're expecting to go to a world where there's everlasting life and so forth. She said, yes. I said, what do you expect this Christ to be? Said, he'll be a man. Said, then if you're the same over there that you are here, you've never seen him. Said, you're blind. So I don't know him anyhow. They said, how would you ever know him if you're still blind over there and you've never had sight in this life? And on the other side, there is no sight there. How would you ever know him then? She said, I'll know him, and laughed at her. And she turned and started back through the house. When she made her decision, no, sir, nothing of the world. All my talent is given to Christ. And they said, she started back across the house and raised her hands. And she said, I shall know him. I shall know him. And redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hands. Said it's those great crucial moments that the strain is put upon us that God moves in when we make the decision for him. That's between life and death. That little sharp edge. Sometime at the last moment when you think you're not going to be well, somebody's making fun of you, you still hold your testimony. That's the time that God moves in. What an amazing thing. Hold on to your testimony. All my talent. All the things that people could receive in this life. If it's not used for God, it doesn't count. We can give the world our best. We can give our jobs our best. But do we give God our best? That's what counts. Because you know what? He gave his all for us. Didn't hold back one thing from us. The scripture tells us then, he'll not withhold one good thing from those that walk uprightly. You know, Brother Brown said that God had a checkbook. And you know, he sat down the day of Calvary, and you know, he started signing all those checks. All those bank drafts of heaven were signed. And you know, if he was here tonight, he couldn't give you anything. He couldn't heal you. Why? Because it's already done. You know, he was sitting there and he was talking about, you know, all of those checks are there. The question is, will you accept them? You know, one of my favorite quotes, and most of you know it, but I still love it every time I see it. And you know, that lady, she was poor and didn't have anything, and you know, charity was trying to help her, and they were trying to find out why she was in such a condition that she was in, and they started investigating where she was at. She had a son that was overseas. And it's like, you know, it's like, if you had a son and he loved you, you know, he'd be trying to take care of you. Said, do you hear from him? Oh yeah, I hear from him all the time. And he sends me all these sweet pictures and these letters. And you know, I hear from him all the time. And it's like, oh, he sends you sweet letters. Oh, some of the sweetest letters that have ever been written. And he sends them to me. And said, where are they? Can we see them? Says, sure. And so she goes over and picks up her Bible, and she opens up her Bible, and it's full of these pictures, beautiful pictures that are laid right there in the scripture. And here it was as they laid there, and then they began to look at them and said, what were they? They were bank drafts. She had thousands of dollars that her son had sent her, but she didn't even know what they were. She just saw pictures. But she didn't realize that they were what she had need of laid right there in her Bible. But somebody had to come by and show her what laid in the scripture was exactly what she had need of. And there it was, when somebody began to point to the scripture and show her what laid there, that's exactly what she had need of. And Brother Branham said, you can't get warm by a painted fire of Pentecost. It's not just a pretty picture. God sent you that. He sent you the truth. He sent you to let you know. He said, it's unto you and to your children and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He said, that's a bank draft of heaven. He said, don't be afraid to cash it. Don't be afraid to cash it. When you see what God's done for you, He gave us His best. You know, if we receive God's best, then you know, then we ought to accept it and walk in the fullness that God has given us. Not just to come along and be haphazard about it. Brother Bram says, speaking here in questions and answers on Hebrews, Speaking of our body, he said you have to have a certain percent of light to make a shadow. He said that's the way it is in here. He said we are both natural and supernatural. This body is subject to death and was brought forth by a woman, not by nothing, but through, not by God. You're a reproduction from Adam and Eve. Be black, white, whatever you are, you're a production, an offspring from Adam and Eve. That makes your body born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. You're damned and condemned at the beginning of your life, not even without a chance. Now, because the spirit that you have come to you by nature, and by nature coming from sexual intercourse, desire by man and woman producing an earthly child, and let that child alone and don't teach him nothing right, he'll go wrong. Don't teach him neither right nor wrong, he'll take wrong because it's his nature to do that. He said, watch a little baby, not over higher than that, just get so mad. He'll wring his hands, he'll turn red in the face, hold his breath. Sure, what is it? It's his nature. He got it from his pappy and his mammy. One, sure she had enough temper to fight a buzzsaw or his daddy. If they didn't, his grandfather or grandmother did. It's offspring. He said, it makes you, you're born of this world. You come here, come by nature. And your whole being is black and smutty and damned and cursed and going to hell. That's right. He said, but when you're born again, then the light of God shines down in that soul. Hallelujah. Then it's no more a dark valley, but it's a valley with a shadow in it. You may be veiled here with the flesh, but with things known by faith. But there's enough light in there. And that light and darkness has to separate. And when the light shines, darkness flees. And when we go to be with Christ in that body, darkness and death vanishes, and we burst out into perfect light. Glory to God. There we are. No more sickness, no more dark mixed with it. He said, right now we have both sickness and joy. We have health and strength, but we have ins and outs and ups and downs, joy and sorrow and so forth. Well, it's just a shadow. We got enough light to know that there's light there. We're still in the body, in flesh, but someday this body's going to break. Someday the day's going to break. That's when the death angel sets out to the foot of the bed. That's when the doctor says it's all finished and this natural comes away from the supernatural and the light springs forth to light, springs back to light, and darkness goes back to darkness. This, when this mortal puts on immortality, that's when this corruption puts on incorruption. That's when this mortal puts on immortality and we become from a creature of time to a creature of eternity. You cannot go out there with total darkness. You've got to have light in the darkness. There you are. That's the body you receive. So we're born in darkness, but you know, we've got that light. But you know, the promise is that it's going to give way. All this is going to give way to that light. You know, he said, walking in the valley of the shadow of death. He said, thou art with me. Why? Because you've got to have light to create a shadow. It may be darkness, but you know what? He's still there. No matter where you're at, he's there with you. And we see a lot of darkness. And you know, that's what the devil wants us to see, is a lot of darkness. But you know, the one thing is you hold on to the light. It may be faint, but you hold on to that light, because as you hold on to that light, then you know what? There's coming a day where it's going to break. There's a light coming. There's a greater light. We'll walk in the light as he is in the light. Why? Because he's going to lead you into greater light. And we see that as the day goes on, and Brother Brown is speaking of the light, and as the light progresses, and we see that the light shined in the east, and now it's went to the west, and you know, now we're seeing the evening light here. As the light has grown, it's becoming our day. That, you know, the greatest light is now with us in our day. That, you know, the light that shined in the other ages, and you know, he spoke about the light for our day, and you know, and you know, people get, he was talking about a man that he was making fun of of people believing the scripture. And he said, you know, how could God do all the things that he done and all the things that took place down through history? And he said, you know, he just don't understand how that the seed had to go into the ground and the seed had to abide alone, but it had to reproduce. The life had to go, and all that was the cycle of life that it had to go through, that it had to go down. And you know, we see as he came and he birthed those at the day of Pentecost, and when they came through, every age had their light, but you know, they had to do what every age was called for. And then, you know, and they said, you know, why did God call because he anointed a people to go through the dark ages. He to go through those times of persecution and all of that and the death. Why? Because they had a great testimony for the things that they stood for and went through. But you know, all that had to play into the plan of God for it to come through there and to be birthed and you know, come through the dark ages and all the false doctrine and all those things. But you know what? He began to promise that he was going to bring back, and you know, he prophesied and told him that he was coming back with light. And you know, when Martin Luther received the light of justification and wrote the 95 Theses and stood up there and said, you know, he said, we don't believe in all of this because the just shall live by faith. Why? Because it was a great light that began to shine. Yeah, it was a lot of darkness and it was a lot of death, but you know what? It was still a great light that was shining. Why? Because those that saw it saw a great light and it began to stay, it began to grow. And then, you know, all the way, many people didn't see that thing. They, you know, they thought Martin Luther lost his mind. He was a heretic and they wouldn't have anything to do with him. But you know, there was some that were predestinated to that and saw that great light and stood for it and walked in the light that they had, and they began to show. And you know, then there was other ones they began to see, and you know, Wesley and the different ones that came along after that began to walk in the same light that God had given them and began to express the light of the word as it began to open up to come back to the original. And you know, brothers and sisters, and it came back to you and I that we've received the original all the way down through time. Yeah, God winked at their ignorance. Why? Because they walked in all the light that they had. But you know what? It was a great light that was shining. But you know, God came to the place today. You and I are the ones that are the recipients of the full word of God. That we have received what, and you know what, all the way back through time, you know, Wesley may not have seen what Luther saw and didn't understand all the things that took place. Why? Because it wasn't for him, but it was for him to pick up the light, to pick up the scripture that God shined the light on for him, and for him to walk out there and walk in the light of sanctification and to live a life that was above reproach, to be carried on. And they began to carry on. And you know, they began to look into the scripture. And you know, as they began to see those things, and they came and realizing God had something greater than what was already been given. And you know, those began to stand and pray. You know, I was reading a little article thing that was about the Welch Revival. And you know, how the man was named Evan Roberts, and he began to cry and pray, you know, because, you know, he did not feel satisfied where he was at. And you know, God had called him, and you know, he began to pray all the time and began to seek. You know, they had great churches, they had great movements, but you know, he wanted something more than what they had. Why? Because he was crying out, because you know what? There was more of God that was calling, because there was something on the inside crying out. Why? Because there was more of God to respond to that. And he began to cry out. And you know, that was the birth of the great Welch Revival, that there was somebody that was crying out, that God had placed on somebody to cry out and seek God, and God answered that call. You know, as they began to look into the scripture, there was ones that began to see, you know, we want to see greater things from God. We want to have greater movements of God. And you know, people began to seek these things and understand that God had planned from the day of Pentecost, you know, to come back. And Daddy Seymour and those, you know, they began to cry out and they began to see from the scripture, you know, another pouring out of the Holy Ghost, and to see the things that God had done back in the day of Pentecost could be reproduced again today. And as they began to crowd and speak, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, the Holy Ghost began to fall and they began to speak with tongues and all these different things. And you know, it was a movement of God that God started to move and open up the word to the people. And you know, and then they began to see, you know, those that had left the Trinitarian doctrine and became into, you know, understanding the true baptism and the different things as they came along. And you know, we are recipients of those that have stood for the truth that God has blessed them and brought them all the way down through. And you know, Brother Branham stood on and began to open these things up and see all these things and point us down through history to show where the Word of God has been opened up and unveiled. It's a wonderful thing to see that what God has done. You know that God has, because many people, you know, they didn't see the opening of the Word. But when Brother Branham began to see all the way down through history that corn of wheat going into the ground and dying and being reproduced and bringing back, it was the same life in a different stage, but it was the same life that came through all the way down. It's the same life today. And to come back into the grain. And he said that's what it would be in the last days. It would be the same. This is from the Message. Things that are to be. He said, you see, the whole program, the whole church is built upon divine revelation. Jesus said in Matthew, the 16th chapter, he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this to you. He said, what was it? A revelation of who he was. Upon this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. See, the revelation of Jesus Christ in this hour, not what he was in another hour, what he was now. The Bible expresses, it's growing in the Bible to the full stature. Therefore, if the corn of wheat of Christ had to fall in the ground, so did the bride to have to fall in the ground through the dark ages. Any grain that goes into the ground must die or it can't produce itself, reproduce itself. And the great church that he established on the day of Pentecost by sending of the Holy Ghost had to suffer martyrdom and go into the dirt, into the age of the earth of the dark age and bring forth again in the days of Luther and come on out to the full stature of the bride of Jesus Christ for this last day. See, there's no way. Therefore, the bride in the rapture will come forth and there is all pre-planned by God, all backed up. From the beginning, he knowed every man, every place who would set all about it. It's all pre-planned. God knew it would be here. And then when he made it all that way, so that when we get there, he's going to prepare a place for us. And when we get there, it's all prepared just like even this night is prepared, like this hour is prepared. Yes, his great foreknowledge tells him all these things by foreknowledge. And so he continues on. And he begins to speak about God being omniscient and omnipresent and everything. And he begins to speak about our natural birth being presented in the world and God knowing all about these things that would take place and you becoming to an adult and understanding the things that take place in this earth. And Brother Brown, and go on up, brother. Go up to 40 if you got it. There you go. He said, and so it is with your spiritual birth. You do things that you don't understand when you're a little baby come to the altar. You give your life to Christ. You do such strange things. You wonder why you did it. But after a while, when you mature as matured Christians, then you understand it. See, there's something picks up. See, you see why you had to do it. Your spiritual birth, your natural birth types your spiritual. How it is fitted to you in this life. As you grew, everything fitted right in because you were made for that. Wasn't it a strange thing the night that you staggered into the mission or the tent meeting or the little church somewhere on the corner and something the preacher preached on or a certain subject, you just fell right at the altar. See, God knew that before the foundation of the world. See, it seems strange to you why you did it then, but now you understand. You knew what happened. So it's fitting to you in this life and you will be also in the life that is to come. this world and this life seems to advance as you mature. Everything seems to go right with you. So we see these things as it went through all the way down through time. All these things came to right to our day. Everything that we go through, it is fitting. And God knows what would take place, what would take place in our lives. And God understands, and God knew what was going to take place and all these things. And, you know, we wonder why things happen the way they do. But, you know, God has a plan in all of it, a plan and a purpose in all of it. And, you know, it's going to be for His honor and glory. And as He said in our natural birth, we see these things and we don't understand why things are. As we mature, we start to see and understand things. Well, you know, as you mature as a Christian, you begin to see these things and understand why things happen the way they do and the way things happen. And so we start to see these things and what God has done for us. And so as we see, it's a great thing that God has for us. And, you know, it's not to be wrapped up in, an imitation. You know, I don't want it to be just a reproduction. I don't want just to be a replica of it. But I want it to be a production of Jesus Christ. As He was speaking of, He said there would be, in the last days, He said it would come. He said it would be it would reproduce Jesus Christ. He said all the way down through the time that He said that genuine seed would come again. He said it would be sown. He said, and so it's not just a reproduction, not us trying to make ourselves into something, but it's to allow Him to make us, that we would be reproduction of Jesus Christ again in the world, to see the world would see Jesus Christ again today, being a son and a daughter of God. That's our goal. That's our desire. Lord, mold us in Your image, Lord. Mold us into what we need to be. Let us see You. I want to be what He'd have me be. I want to live the way that He wants me to live. Let's all stand this evening. We'll have the musicians come. And you know, God saw value in us, and it wasn't some cheap, and I don't want to cheapen what He's done for me. I don't want to be the world looks for a something easy and something simple. You know, the life that Jesus Christ lived, it wasn't always simple. It wasn't easy. You know, we all have to have our, you know, our Garden of Gethsemane times. But you know, there's many people, they want to find the easy way out. You know, they say, well, I can do what I want to. I don't have to go to church. Brother Bram said, you know, they said, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to fellowship. I can be just as good. And he said, no, you can't. You know, many people, they come and he's like, well, I just want to hear what the prophet has to say. And I'm just going to listen to the prophet. And, you know, and then, you know, they want to throw off, you know, well, I don't need a pastor. I don't need a fivefold ministry. I'm just going to hear it from the prophet. I'm just, because, you know, that's thus saith the Lord. And not realizing that what they've done is they've taken themselves away from the grace of God. You know, as reason when I was reading that scripture, you know, Brother Bram said, the quote there where he was talking about physical blindness, and Fanny Crosby, and he was talking about spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness is worse. And he said to reach out to them and love them. You know, there's so many that, you know, you don't know how what to say to them. You just try to reach out and you think about people that, you know, they've got into this thing where, you know, I get it myself, you know. No, you can't. God placed in the body. And you know, if He placed in the body, He placed a fivefold ministry in the body. And if Ephesians 4 was placed in the body, was placed in the scripture, then show me where He took Ephesians 4 out. Because it has great value to me. Because if not, like I said, we can make it a cheap imitation. And it is very sad because, you know, many people have stand up today and, you know, they say, well, you know, we have a tape ministry and we have a fivefold ministry. And you know what? And in the true fivefold ministry, there ain't a single one of them that I know of that's going to stand in front and tell you can't listen to tapes. It's for you to listen to the tapes. They encourage you to listen to the tapes. You better be in the tapes. You better be in the Word. You better be listening. I mean, I don't know anybody that's saying, well, you better not listen to this. Because if somebody's trying to hold you back from reading and getting into the Word, you know what? That's not the fivefold ministry. They're pointing you back to the Word. And you know, and as Brother Bram said in the Church Age book, he said there was a voice of many waters. He said it was the voice, and I didn't bring this quote, but he said the voice of the ministers in each age. And when you go back to look at, he said the voice, well, there's only one voice. Well, I'm not, you know, I don't want to think, say that I'm trying to speak in my own self. Because if I was going to do that, I'd just sit down. But it's God speaking.
Glory.
And if it's Him speaking, He said it was the voice of the ministers, plural. Ministers is plural. The voice of the ministers in each age. Age being singular. He didn't say the voice of the ministers in the ages. But he said the ministers in each age. So there's more than one in each age.
Glory.
So when he began to speak, then he's bringing out, there's a fivefold ministry for every age. And there's so we're not trying to do away with it. And so many people have raised up and there they are saying, you know, well, it wasn't so from the beginning. It wasn't so from the beginning. Well, you know, let me tell you something. You may tell you something that wasn't from the beginning. A tape player. A tape player never was so from the beginning. Let me tell you something else. Because everybody says, well, we have to listen to the voice of the prophet. Well, let me tell you something else. A prophet wasn't so from the beginning. Because if we go back, Brother Bram said we're going back to the Eden condition. God come and spoke to Adam and Eve.
Right.
They had fellowship face to face with each other. That was so from the beginning. Let me tell you something else that wasn't so from the beginning. Clothes wasn't so from the beginning. Well, if we're going to just start saying, well, that's so what went so from the beginning. Went so from the beginning. Well, there's a lot of things we need to cut out. But you tell me, if the fivefold ministry, you show me where the fivefold ministry was taken out and I show you where it was put in. You show me where it was taken out. But you show me where God put a tape player in. He called men. He didn't call a tape player. But you know what? Every man that's been called of God has been called to stand and they proclaim the message that Brother Branham brought. The fulfillment of Revelation 10:7 came to voice and it began because Revelation 10:8 began to speak. So there's somebody that's got to stand and speak. Not sit around and sit and listen to a tape player. Well, I can't say nothing. We're just going to push play. I'm sorry. I just... I'm sorry, not sorry. I'm sorry if it offends you, but it don't offend me. It offends me that when people have taken the word of God and what God has given us and they've cheapened it. And all you can do is make an imitation of it. Because you know they say, well, you know, they've done away with so much. Well, it's so much easier. We can just sit somewhere in our recliners and listen to Brother Branham, and we don't have to have anybody call our sin out and point our fingers at us and tell us where we're wrong. And they said, well, Brother Branham comes and corrects me. I know there's a lot of them that you see a lot of things that go on, and you know what? Who's correcting that? So, but you know, I thank God that God has given us a fivefold ministry.
Amen.
God has given us a pastor that has stood faithfully behind the desk, and he's actually... Well, all I can say, anybody else can say whatever they want to. But Brother Branham said, he said he gave you a pastor. He said he's ordained a God to lead you through. He said, get behind your pastor. So I want to be behind my pastor. And I want to apologize to everybody here. Because you know what? I don't want to cheapen any of this. But I'm just going to go ahead and see it. Nobody won't have any surprises. I'm just honest like it. Brother Wade's words of exhortation and rebuke were mine. Anybody want to know who they belong to? They belong to me. And I'm not ashamed to say that. Because you know what? The Bible tells me that a bastard's the only one that won't stand correction.
Right.
And I apologize to Brother Wade and Brother Dale. And I apologize to all of y'all. Because I don't want to ever do anything to offend anybody. The Bible tells me that a brother offended is harder won than a strong city. And you know, any time that there's anything that's ever done that stands between anybody and the body, then that's where the devil can attack. That's where the devil's going to stand and play. And I want to be the one to be right.
Amen. Amen.
And I want to say this. Whether I preach again or not doesn't matter to me. If Brother Dale set me down, I wouldn't mind at all. Because I'm not going to be one that's going to have carry a chip on my shoulder or anything like that. We're in such a late hour. If anything's done wrong, it needs to be corrected, and we all need to stand up and take her and say thank the Lord and just move on.
Amen.
It needs to be put under the blood. And if anybody thinks that preachers are any better than anybody else, well, you're dead wrong. Because I don't want to be just an imitation.
Right.
I want to be the genuine.
Yes. All right.
Amen.
I know Brother Dale, Brother Wade, forgive me. That's not a problem. And I know Brother Wade and them wouldn't think nothing of it. They forget it. I know the Lord does. Sometimes the hardest to do is forgive ourselves. To not let it stand in our way.
That's right.
So, y'all pray for me. And I appreciate them standing up, saying what they have to say. And if anybody else, you have to walk your own way. So, if people get upset about things, well, y'all have to deal with your own journey, your own problems, your own feelings. But, I just want to apologize to everybody here. Because you know what? I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to be a hindrance. And so my prayer is to be better. Because this is the greatest thing that we have, is the Word. And you know what? This is the Word. So God bless you tonight. We're going to sing a song.
I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give till there's just no more to give. I want to love till
just no more love.
I could never, ever outlove the Lord. I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more.
Love till there's just no more love.
I could never, ever outlove the Lord. To live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever outlove the Lord.
This is the day.
This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Amen. God bless you this evening. Everything all normal, all righty. Well, Lord bless y'all tonight. Pray for each one. So, as we go this evening, let's just all bow our heads and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this evening. Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, for the word. Father, for correction that you've given us, Lord. Lord, we know that it's your love to us, Lord. That, Lord, Father, you said that love was corrective. And Lord, we believe that. And we just commit everything to you, Lord. Father, for each one as they're traveling home tonight, Lord, we just pray that you'll be with each one. Lord, guide and protect them. Lord, for each one that's sick, Lord, and all the needs, Lord, we know that you'll just touch and minister in a special way to each one. Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord. Lord, we give you all the praise, the honor, and glory, for in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.